Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome to worship tonight. Tonight we get to celebrate the Ascension. God's promise to you and to me that Jesus' work is completed, that God, our Heavenly Father, accepted Jesus' sacrifice on your behalf and mine, and that Jesus, your Savior, is preparing a place for you. Tonight we want to stop and see why that makes him worthy of our praise. So look forward to sharing that with you during the sermon tonight. The order of worship that will follow is printed for you in the worship booklet. And please note that we will stand as we sing the final stanza of the opening hymn, hymn 171. Let us worship the Lord.
worship continues on page 2 in the worship booklet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
I am going away, and I am coming back to you. In my Father's house are many rooms. I am going there to prepare a place for you.
Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises.
Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later.
How awesome is the Lord Most High, the great King over all the earth.
I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am.
God reigns over the nations. God is seated on his holy throne.
I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy.
Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy.
Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you.
God is the King of all.
Let your hearts be troubled. Have faith in God and faith in me. I will go forth to prepare a place for you. Then I'll come back to take you with me, that where I am you may also be.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, King of glory, you have ascended far above the heavens, and at God's right hand you rule the nations. Leave us not alone, we pray, but grant us the Spirit of truth, that at your command and by your power, we may be your witnesses in all the world. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. The first lesson for this evening is recorded in Acts chapter 1. This is the historical account of the ascension of Jesus into heaven. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." This is the word of the Lord.
Oh.
The second lesson is recorded in Ephesians chapter 1. In this lesson, St. Paul drives home the power and the authority of our Christ, the power and authority that he exercised when he defeated sin and death for us, the power and authority with which he rules over all things for our good now and for our eternal good in heaven. Ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for his church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The gospel for this evening is recorded in Luke chapter 24. Jesus said to his disciples, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that was written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to every nation, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he had led them out into the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple praising God. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Grant us sinners, first redeemer.
Please be seated for the hymn of the day. This evening it's hymn 173. Of him who rules on the throne today, tomorrow, and always. In the name of your ascended Lord Jesus. So did you happen to catch why they were there in the temple courts every day praising Jesus? I think right away you could say, well, probably this time they got it. After all, Jesus told them, go there and stay there. And an angel said, go there and stay there until he sends you the Holy Spirit. And so maybe this time they actually listened. Or maybe now they knew that Jesus was worthy of their praise. Maybe now they were able to put a few more things together than they were before. You know, this idea of being worthy of something, being a person of integrity. Now, I found this online as part of a devotion, so I have no reason to believe it's not true. But in Chinese, the symbol for integrity, it's the symbol of a person, and then it's the symbol for word. So in other words, your integrity comes from what you say, and that you do what you say you're going to do, and that you can be trusted. Because what you say and how you live, they match up, and that makes you a person of integrity. And what if Jesus would have left it at that with his disciples? Where do you think they would have been at this time? Because didn't they know that Jesus was a man of integrity? Didn't Jesus do good things? Didn't Jesus make them promises? Didn't Jesus keep all the promises that he made to them? And you know, if it worked that way, these guys should have been gone a long time ago. And if they weren't, certainly Jesus' ascension, great, now he's gone forever, would have put them over the top. If it was up to them to see what Jesus did and then ascertain for themselves, yeah, he's a man of integrity, so now we'll put our faith in him. It was the work, like we talked about on Sunday, it was the work of the Holy Spirit to create faith in their hearts, to lead them to see that Jesus is their Savior and to put their hope and their trust in him. And that's when you really get to see the benefit of knowing that Jesus is a man of integrity, that all of his promises are true,
that because he has gone to prepare a place, that they are going there too, and that you and I are going there to be with him as well. Jesus kept his word to them. Jesus said, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that was written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day." And just think how important that was, that Jesus reaffirmed that promise to them. Didn't they just ask him, "Jesus, are you at this time going to make everything right in the world? Are you at this time going to restore the kingdom?" They still weren't believing. They still were doubting. Think of who these guys were. These guys were boasting, such big boasts. "We're going to be with you always, Jesus. We're going to stand by you forever, Jesus. We're never going to leave you, Jesus." Well, they wanted to leave them when they got upset with people who didn't believe in him. They wanted to leave Jesus when things got difficult in the garden. And I know that Peter was the only one who actually said it, but didn't the rest of them deny Jesus too? And to save their own skins, "We swear to God, we've never even met the guy before." But like I said, unfortunately, Peter was the only one who actually said it. He went from boasting, "I'm never going to do that, Jesus," to he couldn't wait to get out of the courtyard of the high priest. And then even after Jesus' resurrection, what were they doing? They were hiding. They were scared. They were supposed to be waiting for Jesus, and not that we come down too hard on them, but they said, "Hey, I'm going fishing." And the rest of them said, "Good, we'll go fishing too." Because it was getting hard waiting for Jesus. Were they thinking, "What if he doesn't come back? Who's going to provide for our families? What are we going to do? How are we going to provide for ourselves?" How did they get from that to, "We don't care who sees us. We don't care who hears us. We don't care who's going to get upset with what we do or what we say. We don't care who's going to try to arrest us, who's going to try and kill us. We are going to go to the temple, and we are going to wait for Jesus every day, and we are going to praise him, and we are going to witness him every day." How did that happen? Because Jesus kept his promise. Jesus kept his promise to come into this world to die to pay for their sins. Whether that was a promise they knew from the Old Testament, from Genesis, that God was going to send a Savior, or maybe it was from the prophets, the prophet Isaiah, that God was going to send his suffering servant, or maybe it was from the Psalms, that they knew that Jesus was going to give up his life and that his body would not see decay in the ground. Jesus kept every single promise ever made about him in the Old Testament. He lived for them. He died for them. He rose again for them. And that comforted them, probably for the first time that actually comforted them. You think of Peter. Yes, Jesus reinstated him, but now Jesus opened the scriptures to him and he got it. Think of how comforting that must have been. Or when James and John flew off the handle because people weren't listening, now they knew that they were forgiven for their anger, forgiven for their impatience. When they all left him in the Garden of Gethsemane, when they were all afraid on Easter night, they knew they were forgiven. They knew that their Savior lives, and that promise comforted them. Jesus was a man of integrity. He was worthy of their praise. He did everything he said he was going to do for them. And it was only going to get better for them too, as they would go out to do what Jesus had prepared and instructed them to do. Jesus said, "Repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in my name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." And what happened when they went out and did that? When they went out and preached repentance and forgiveness of sins? We've been having it in the last lessons recently, haven't we? They go out to Gentiles, to Greeks, and even prominent men and prominent women believe. People who had an active hand in killing Jesus, who crucified him, Peter calls them on their sin, and they ask for forgiveness, and they're baptized, and they're comforted, and their church is growing. And these guys aren't afraid anymore.
They're not afraid to go and leave their families and to do the job that Jesus asked them to do. They're not afraid that something bad is going to happen to their wife and their children while they're out preaching. They're not afraid that somebody's going to kill them out in the temple courts for preaching. Jesus was a man of integrity. He kept his word. And so they are at the temple literally every day praising Jesus for what he did. And also in their lives too, as they trusted in their forgiveness, as they went out with the gospel, as they lived their lives for their Savior. Jesus kept his promises. He kept his word. And he keeps his word to you and to me also. St. Paul wrote, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe." Can you believe that you and I actually trust that our sins are forgiven? You know, maybe it's when you start comparing yourself with these guys and wonder if you have done the same already in your life. As you get a little worked up about what's going on, and you think, who's going to take care of the next generation? Or maybe you get busy, right? Your kids, there's a lot going on, and you think, well, if I skip practice, if I don't go to the game, what's going to happen? Or if I start talking about Jesus in my life, my friends know I'm a Christian, what are they going to do to me? Am I still going to have my friends and my friendships? Or maybe you and I start thinking about the times that, just like Peter, we've denied our Savior. With the sins that we've done and with the guilt that we brought into our relationship with God. And you think, is this going to be the time that Jesus is going to turn his back on me? But he doesn't, because Jesus keeps his promises. That repentance and forgiveness of sins, it made it out of Jerusalem, didn't it? It made it out of Samaria. It made it into all the world. And now you and I know that Jesus keeps his word. That he came into this world to fulfill the Old Testament promises for you and for me. And when we hear these promises that he is now our ascended Lord ruling over all things, and we believe that and we trust that, we look at what's going on around us and we see this happening, we see Jesus is a man of integrity and he keeps his word. And just think of the neat way that Jesus does this. You know, when we hear the kids singing on a Sunday morning and you hear them proclaiming the gospel, and maybe it's somebody that you think, boy, that would be the last person that I ever thought would be sending their kids to Sunday school. That's the last kid I ever thought I would see at Vacation Bible School. Or, man, we wrote that family off a long time ago, and there they are, and their kids, or maybe it's your grandchildren, are singing Jesus' praises. Jesus keeps his promises that this message is going to go out and that you and I are his witnesses. When Jesus keeps his promise from his throne on high to continue to provide for his church here, as we cycle shepherds in and out, in and out, and God every time faithfully provides another one, Jesus is keeping his promise to you. Repentance and forgiveness of sins is going to be proclaimed in his name, and it's going to work, and it's going to comfort people. When we hear this promise, that power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. And it's not like all of your problems magically ascend with Jesus tonight, right? All your problems are still going to be there. Your challenges are always going to be there. You are constantly going to need his love and forgiveness. But Jesus keeps his promises. And God is going to continue to exercise his mighty strength. The same power and strength that raised Jesus from the dead is on top of your problems. It's on top of those things that make you sad. It's on top of those things that make you worry. It's on top of those things that make you feel guilty and ashamed before your heavenly Father. Jesus is exercising almighty power to make sure that you overcome, because Jesus keeps his promises. He died to pay for all of your sins, and he rules over every power and authority from his heavenly throne. So God doesn't want us to continually stay here, literally praising God? Because it's bigger than that, isn't it? We get to praise our Savior God, our Son to God, in everything that we do. Singing his praises tonight? Absolutely. Going and bringing Jesus into our homes, to the lives of our friends and our families, our kids and our grandkids? Yes. Doing the best you can at work? Letting your light shine by what you do? Being Jesus' witnesses even to the end of the age? We have lots of ways to praise our God continually. May the fact that Jesus keeps his word always give you confidence of knowing that your ascended Jesus is with you today, tomorrow, and always. To God alone be the glory for his ascension and the confidence that that gives us as his people. Amen. Please stand. The confession of faith this evening is from Luther's explanation of the second article, where he is explaining the person and the work of Jesus. We confess together, I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. He has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, purchased and won me from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil. Not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death. All this he did that I should be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he has risen from death and lives and rules eternally. This is most certainly true. Please be seated as we praise and worship our God with our offerings.
His praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. The Word became flesh and the light shined among us, his glory revealed. Living he loved us, dying he saved us, buried he carried your sins far away, rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, O glorious day, O glorious day. Day they led him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed him to die on a tree. Suffering, anguish, despised and rejected. Bearing our sins, our Redeemer is he. The hands that healed nations stretched out on a tree. And took the nails for me. Living he loved us, dying he saved us, buried he carried our sins far away, rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, a glorious day, a glorious day. our sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day.
Continue with the prayer of the church on page 8 in the worship booklet. Please stand. Blessed Jesus, you ascended to the right hand of your Father's majesty, power, and glory, and now reign as eternal King of kings and Lord of lords.
We praise you for your victory over sin, death, Satan.
O ascended prophet, equip your church to proclaim the precious gospel message of God's love for all the world.
Give courage to our hearts, power to our words, and success to our efforts.
O ascended high priest, represent us before the Father as his own dear children and heirs. Defend us against Satan's every accusation. Ask for the Father's rich blessing in our everyday lives.
Plead for his mercy and grace on our behalf.
O ascended King, direct the affairs of governments and nations that they may serve the best interest of your church.
You are our Lord, Master, and King.
As the disciples lifted their eyes to watch your ascension, so lift our eyes daily to look for your coming again in glory. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Please be seated for our closing hymn. It's in the supplement, number 727.
praised his name, and repentance and forgiveness of sins went out from God's house tonight. So thank you for being here. I enjoyed your company. We welcome our worship guests from St. Andrew. Thank you for being here. We're pleased to share the good news with you. And I read, and it made me laugh, so I'm going to share it with you. I was reading in a book on how to preach for Ascension Day festivals, and it said, don't yell at the people who are here for the people who are not here. And it also said, don't puff up the people that are here so that they think they're good for being here. So I enjoyed worshiping with you tonight, and I pray that Jesus blesses the good news that you heard tonight, and that it helps you get a good night's sleep too, knowing that your ascended Jesus has all things covered for you. Please feel free to visit with one another before you are ushered out, and then I'll greet you one more time in the lobby.